Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
All enjoying this warm weather. I went out and tackled my dandelions yesterday. And it's painful to do that because they're so cute, you know, but they're not so cute when they start getting that little white puffy thing that spreads them all over, and then you have more than you can handle. But isn't that just like sin in our life? It looks like a single dandelion, and then it gets this thing that puffs up there, and all these seeds start planting in us. And we're cultivating weeds instead of fruit. So I just love nature, and I love the God in it. But just like nature, we can grow weeds and we can grow fruit. We have a choice, and we choose, unlike nature. Seeds produce after their own kind, even in what's in us, right? So I've been thinking a lot about spiritual boredom. It's easy to, like, on a night when we have worship like that, it's easy to get all worked, get ourselves all excited about the Lord and worked up, and when you're surrounded by a lot of Christians that are pouring into your life, it's easy to get stay built up. It's not difficult because they're always reminding you. You always have somebody to speak to. So there's this culture that goes on, but in day-to-day life, and when we get separated from that culture and we're on our own for a little bit, then what happens? We start like letting the reading of the word go. We skip a night or a day here and there, and then it becomes two or three days, and then we start thinking less and less. We start connecting less and less with God. It's difficult for our flesh nature to stay connected to the Lord in a place of excitement or a place of where we feel alive in it. It's easy to get bored. Unfortunately, our flesh will go there pretty quick. We even do that in life, you know. We get bored, so we zone out, and we start doing something to fill the emptiness. So we get on Facebook, or we start watching YouTube or Netflix or whatever, movies, or we start doing random things that do nothing to better our inner self. So, but think about what you do to take up that place when you start zoning out and you get bored. You start getting bored with life or with your spirit, especially your spiritual self. We don't disconnect all at once. We start disconnecting bit by bit. What happens? What happens in your thought life? Have you ever thought about that? It's hard. It's hard. Our flesh will fight it. Our flesh is not spiritual. And so if we have not cultivated, it's impossible to not go into spiritual boredom if we have not cultivated a life of intimacy with Christ. Passion is in the heart. Boredom is in the mind. And unless we have a heart-to-heart connection with the Lord, the passion is going to wane. It's going to be superficial. It's going to be momentary. And you're always going to need another person or another program or another conference or something. You're always going to need something to keep you going. You're going to need another to see another miracle, or you're going to need, you know, we're always going to need that thing that will keep us hoping for the next greater thing. And unless we take the time to dig deep into that well of intimacy, boredom will be the result. Passion is cultivated in the heart with a heart-to-heart connection. God is passionate. And when you connect with his heart, that passion begins to well up in you. And you feel his passion. Then it's harder to disconnect. It's harder. I mean, boredom doesn't come easy that way. But we always have a choice. So there, that passion is possible. In Romans chapter 7, it starts talking in verse 14, talking about the law and how we were once slaves to the law. And the law was boring. The law was boring. And the flesh is, it's difficult to live by the law. It's impossible because we can't stay connected to it. There's no heart connection to the law, right? There's no, we can't perform well enough. We can't keep all the rules because there's no heart connection to it. It's just a list of rules, and it's earning salvation, which is not really possible. The law convicts you of sin. It makes your sin blatant, but it gives you, and it gives you, you know, things that you shouldn't do, but you're always fighting the flesh to not do those things. And it's always a work. We're always working at it. So Paul talks about, I do the very thing I don't want to do. I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, verse 17. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil I do not want. So it's this back and forth ping pong game here. So he's wanting one thing but doing another. And there's a constant battle because there's no connection of the heart to the law. Does that make sense? So if you're trying to earn your salvation, or you're trying to stay connected to God in a work mentality, under condemnation, it's not going to happen. Because there's no passion there. There's no connection to love. In verse 20, he says, but if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. In verse 21, I find then that the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body. Have any of you felt that fight? You want to do good, but you find yourself not doing good, and it battles back and forth. It's that back and forth. We're constantly aware. And then he goes in 24, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. But there's hope here. There's hope. In chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you hear that? So when you're in that struggle, are you listening that voice, that condemnation? Do you hear that negative? You did it again. You can't do anything right. You're not good enough. You're never going to measure up. And you know, you're always going to live that life. It's, you know, why even try? Then it's like, why even try? What's the point? Why don't you just give up? Just give into it. It's easier, right?
Yep.
I know y'all have heard that.
Amen.
Am I the only one that's ever heard that voice? No. Everybody hears that to one degree or another. Because we've all been there and all struggled with it. You hear that negative. Well, the Bible right here says, if you belong to Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. So what voice are you listening to? The wrong one. The wrong one. It's either your voice or the enemy's voice. And he will happily echo what you're thinking. And he'll reinforce it. Or you happily listen to what he's saying. Because you know that you've sinned. And we hate it. But that voice of condemnation will keep you from having passion. It will keep you from going deeper in with the Lord if you're listening to it, because you're going to think you're not good enough, that God doesn't want you, that he's looking the other way, that you've cried and cried and cried out for freedom and for deliverance or whatever, and then he's not doing it. And so you start blaming God then. Condemnation is a wicked voice. It doesn't do anything good. You know what we use it for, though? We use it. And when you're listening to that voice, when you find yourself listening over and over to that voice of condemnation, there's a reason that you're listening to it. What would that voice do for you as a benefit? A lot of you have heard me talk about benefits of negative thinking. What would condemnation do for you if you have a habit of listening to that negativity? It's something, it feels good to the flesh. It's not going to feel like a bad thing. It's going to try and make you harder to be better. If I can keep reminding myself how bad I am, does that make sense?
Yeah.
If I can keep reminding myself how bad I am and how bad I just, what a bad thing I just did and how awful I am, it's going to make me try harder if I keep listening to that voice.
Amen.
But that voice keeps you condemned. Does the exact opposite of what we think it's going to do. It's a subconscious thought. It's not a conscious thought. We don't take on condemnation consciously. But subconsciously, our flesh is trying to do something to line up with the spirit, and that sounds like a good idea. If I keep belittling and berating myself and punishing myself, then I'm going to try harder. But the Lord says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. You are not under the law anymore. We are not under the law, so we don't need to listen to condemnation. We don't need to listen to it. It doesn't serve any good thing in us. It won't make you try harder. Maybe for a little bit, but then next time you fail, that condemnation is just going to be louder. And every time that ping pong happens, you fall harder and the voice gets louder. You fall harder and it gets louder. And you're stuck in a rut. You're stuck you're plowing the wrong row there. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. The law was only weak because of the flesh, right? God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemns sin in the flesh. That means that when it says he condemns sin in the flesh, means that Jesus Christ, God, became flesh and condemned sin in the flesh. While in the flesh, he did it. So that the flesh can be redeemed. It's the only way. And he did it. So you are free. We are free from the law. That condemnation no longer is a voice that we should be listening to. We need to listen to the voice of forgiveness. Whichever voice you're gazing at is the one that will become the strongest in you and the one that you will end up obeying. If you believe you're condemned, you're going to act like a condemned person. And pretty soon, sin will become made a major, why not? Because I'm already condemned. That voice is convincing. There's a way to shut it down. Verse 4. Well, let me back up to verse 3. What the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because of Jesus, now, we've got God in us, right? If you've accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you now have not the law over you, but you've got Holy Spirit in you. Amen. Holy Spirit in you. God in you. When you're listening to condemnation, you cannot listen to Holy Spirit. Amen. Right? His voice, condemnation is loud and noisy. Holy Spirit is quiet and soft. Which one? The racket is going to get your attention if you're not careful, if you're not wise to it. And the Holy Spirit will he'll be in you the way that you believe. If you believe that you're not good enough for God to talk to you, Holy Spirit to be in you, to have that heart-to-heart connection with God, to have the passion, whatever it is, you're believing is the way it's going to turn out. Because that's what you empower, is what you believe. So do you believe that you are free, like that song said? Do you believe that? If you believe that, you're going to live it. Right? So we can say that we believe it. There's levels, right? There's a conscious level, okay, I believe that I'm free. But do you feel free? Or does sin have its grip on you? Does condemnation have its grip on you? You're not going to feel free with a voice of condemnation always echoing in your ear. It's like a chain, a ball and chain around your ankle. Verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So what are we listening to? If we're connected, if we have an emotional connection with the heart of God, we're going to be listening to Holy Spirit. And it's hard to get bored. Spiritual boredom is difficult when you're listening, when you're always plugging in to the heart of God, when you're listening to him, when you're engaging him in your life. He wants to walk life with you, with you. He wants to, everything that you do, he wants to do it with you. He wants you to recognize him in it. Even if it's a mundane task, you know, Father Lawrence, many, many hundreds of years ago, was a what they call him? A monk. Thank you. And his duty was washing dishes in the kitchen. And out of that place, I mean, it was a long, hard job. And out of that place, he developed a deep intimacy with God because he took God into the kitchen. Yeah? He took him into that mundane task and plugged in to the heart, a heart-to-heart connection with the Lord, and became consciously aware of God in the kitchen with him. And if you want a good book about intimacy, there's one that he's written that's very good. He knew how to plug in. And it came out of that boring, mundane job. So what if we have a small task, what looks small or insignificant, that's no excuse. It's not just the exciting jobs that are out there prophesying or healing the sick or whatever you think is exotic and would be exciting. I know people that do those things and they're quite bored because there's no heart connection with God. And they'll burn out. Burn out. You don't want to burn out. We want to go out in a flaming blaze of glory, right? Yeah. That's my goal. For those, verse 7. For the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So you may feel fleshy, but if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I can't talk. If you have accepted him, you are not of the flesh anymore. You're not. It's impossible. Because Christ redeemed the flesh. He set you free. And so do we believe the word or not? It's not what we feel like that it determines our truth. The truth is what the word says. And the word says that Jesus Christ set you free from your flesh. So that's why there's no condemnation. So if we're set free from the flesh and we really believe it, we're going to act like it. It's going to be a natural result. It's the level of which you believe. Are you free? Are you free?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're going to act like it. Because if you're in the Spirit, you can't not act like it. Because the Spirit's not acting fleshy.
Amen.
Right? It's not. And so we have the power of God in us to take us out of habitual fleshiness and into the Spirit. And walking from glory to glory. Glory to glory, not shame to shame. There's no shame. Now, if you're living in habitual sin, it's because you don't know who you are. If you've got Jesus, if you have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you're still stuck in habitual sin, it's because you don't know. At that deep, deep level that will set you free. There's power in God. There is power to set you free. He has done it. It's at the level, yeah, amen. He has done it. And at the level that we believe that he has done it, we're going to embrace it at that level. So we need to press into the revelation, not just the knowledge. It's the revelation of freedom that we need. And that's what that's what sets you free. That's what lights you up. And that's what chases boredom away. Passion then comes, and you walk in a passionate place of sold out love. Amen. Yeah. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. That statement right there. However, you are not in this flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, this is verse 10, if Christ is in you through the body, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now listen to this. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Mortal bodies. This is not talking through his spirit who dwells in you. This is not talking about your redeemed body. You know, when Jesus comes back and we're going to get this glorious new body. I can't wait. But I'm not there yet. However, Christ, Holy Spirit in me brings life to my mortal body. That is amazing. So Jesus paid for the whole man, not just our spiritual self, soul, mind, and body. He covered it on the cross. Even our well-being, it says, covered our well-being. So when we're listening to condemnation, there is no well-being, right? We've just kicked that out the door. Yeah. So we need to kick condemnation out the door. So I'm going to take you through a little prayer. We're going to kick it out. Stop. We're just going to stop talking about it. And we're going to do it. All right? All right. Every one of you has. I listen to that stupid voice every once in a while. Some of you hear it a lot. It's a constant buzzing in your ear, calling you stupid, idiot. That was a dumb thing to do. I'll never get this right. Just all those negative. So the benefit, there's a flesh benefit to holding that, putting that voice in place. And the benefit is it's going to make you try harder to be better. If I'm always reminding myself how bad I am, I'm going to try harder to be better. Does that sound right? Okay. So just picture Jesus up here. And he's standing behind that, and that's going to be his altar. We put things on the altar that we sacrifice because it has value. We have put value on condemnation. We've put a value on it. We're using it to do a job to make us better. We don't want the voice, but we don't know how to be better without it, right? So put condemnation up on that altar, and its benefit of self-motivation, all right? And I'm just going to lead you through this prayer. And we're also going to, I feel like some of you need to forgive your fathers or your mothers or teachers. There's people in your life that you need to just forgive that have put that condemnation in your ear by calling you stupid or saying you'll never amount to anything or you're no good, that kind of thing. That's a declaration over you. And I just take authority over that right now. Those negative words spoken over you, those curses, and I break them right now in Jesus' name. I break the ungodly power those curses hold over you in Jesus' name, and those assignments have to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. So right now, just lay condemnation and the benefit of self-motivation up on the altar and just say, Jesus, I recognize that I have come into agreement with the voice of condemnation, and I have used that voice to motivate me to be better. I choose to forgive those that have helped me feel condemned. So now I choose to break my agreement with condemnation and its benefit. I command all demonic assignments connected to these things, you have to go in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, I ask you, clean this place out for them, Lord. Now you just receive right here, because the Lord wants to give you something in place of that. Just receive. Lord Jesus, clean this place out. And what do you want them to have in place of condemnation? Just receive it. How many of you felt a switch or a change there in you? Felt some peace? Awesome. Thank you, Lord. We are not slaves anymore to sin or the voice of sin. In verse 14 says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, and if heirs, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. For I consider..." Now, this is an attitude that I'm cultivating in my own life. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." There is nothing that is so big here. And we got some big things and horrible things. I'm not saying they're not bad. People suffer. Bad things happen. But compared to the glory of eternity, it pales in comparison. Now, I'm not trying to be insensitive to your pain, because, you know, we've all had suffering and pain. But it's what we focus on. Like, I'm focusing on the glory of eternity, this short life that we have here. And it goes fast, guys. It goes fast. In a blink, you're elderly. You know, I know, because I'm doing it. It's in a blink. So live your life as if to win, as if to foster passion, get that heart connection with God. He will cause you to prosper in every situation. You're not orphans. You're children of God, heirs with Christ for a glorious eternity that will come soon enough. So, we're going to start praying for each other right now. And this promise about him, Holy Spirit giving life to our mortal bodies, we're going to start praying for our bodies. Healing is something the Lord loves to do. Jesus healed every single person that came to him for healing. He didn't heal every person he saw, but he healed everyone that came to him and didn't turn any away. So we're going to come to him tonight. We're going to come to him for healing. So the first word I hear is hip. If you have issue with your hip, I'd like you to stand. There's one right there. Anyone else? Any hip issues? Doesn't matter if it's an accident or what, I just hear hip. So we're gonna pray for you. When you pray for somebody with healing, ask them if it's an accident. Get a little information. Is it, you know, arthritis or an accident? Or maybe they don't know. If they have hip issues, find out what it is, and then just break off the memory, because body holds memory. Your bodies hold memory of trauma, accidents, strong emotions. So like with an accident, it's going to hold the memory of that accident. So you want to break off the memory, command the body to come into peace, and bless it. So everybody just gather around these guys and start praying. And pray as if to win. Pray as if you know Holy Spirit is going to heal that person. Because he says he'll bring life to our mortal bodies. Don't be shy. Get bold. If you're struggling with habitual sin, if you have something in your life that seems to be a pattern that you're having trouble breaking, I'd like you to come up here. I'd like to help you with that. There's no condemnation in that either. Just come on up here. Thank you. I also hear ear. Somebody have something wrong with your ear? Like deafness or ear infection? I'm not getting specifics, but I'm hearing something wrong with the ear. Anybody have that? Yep, right here. So we need people to pray for this little guy. He's even got cotton in his ear. All right. Is there anybody here that is dealing with hopelessness? Hopelessness. Oh, you all are good. Okay. If you'd like prayer for any physical healing, I'd like you to come forward. Physical healing. And I'd like to call the team members up. And anyone else that would like to pray, help support them in prayer, you can come up. We want to pray for bodies. Did any of the hips receive healing? Raise your hand if you did. You have the hip ones? Yeah? Got one over there. Awesome. All right. So we're praying for physical bodies right now. So if you have anything physical, just come on up.